88.3 Southern FM.
Next, we have Space Show News. Catherine Bennell Pegg has qualified as an astronaut after completing a European Space Agency training program in Cologne, Germany. She began the year-long course in April last year, sponsored by her employer, the Australian Space Agency. She is the first Australian to qualify as an astronaut under the Australian flag. Our previous Australian astronauts, that's Philip Chapman, Paul Scully-Power and Andy Thomas, did so as citizens of the United States. Now, yesterday, the Guardian newspaper said Bennell Pegg's training cost the Australian taxpayer $466,000. As far as is publicly known, there are no plans to fly Ms. Bennell Pegg on a space mission. The European Space Agency has no reason to do so, and the days of NASA giving freebie trips on the space shuttle are well and truly over. The most likely flight opportunity would be a commercial arrangement with a company called Axiom. Now, Axiom rents Crew Dragon spacecraft from SpaceX and is reputed to charge $55 million United States dollars per astronaut for a two-week flight. Considering the annual budget for the Australian Space Agency is $34.2 million, it is hard to see how the agency can send her to space. So why did the agency send her to Cologne for a year? That's what Greens Senator and science spokesperson David Shoebridge wants to know. Expect questions to be asked of Industry and Science Minister Ed Husic when Parliament resumes next month. In a statement, the agency said it justified the expense in terms of promoting science, technology, engineering and mathematics education and inspiring women into the STEM workforce. Now, yesterday, Catherine was interviewed by Channel 10's The Project. Here is a part of what she said.
Waking up as a fully qualified astronaut over in Germany, it's Catherine Bennell Pegg. I feel like I should salute you or something.
Thank you so much. You know, it's such an honour to have just graduated as an astronaut yesterday. Better an Australian astronaut and, you know, it's hard to imagine that after dreaming of this since I was a kid, I'm spaceflight ready.
Now, only six of you completed the entire course out of a massive 22,500 applicants. That's amazing. I failed my barista course at TAFE, so I'm in awe of you. How tough was the course?
The course was extremely intense because astronauts today have to be so multifaceted. We have to learn about science subjects. We do engineering. We do like practical skills, like tradie skills. We do medicine. And I'm learning new things here every day that I can't wait to bring home and share with Australia so that we can have more Australian good science in space.
The training looks almost as cool as that barista course that Sam did. There's all sorts. You've got weightlessness experiencing. You've got scuba diving. Is that as fun as it looks?
It absolutely is as fun as it looks, but it's also a lot of hard work. We put in a lot of hours. I think being an astronaut is as fun as it looks, but it's also more worthwhile than you might imagine. I've been learning about, you know, the experiments we're doing in space, helping with climate change solutions on Earth, but at the same time, you know, going in a centrifuge, feeling what it's like to go on a launch up to space, to return to Earth with the different staging and, you know, knowing that I can handle that.
Catherine, I've never been to space. I might shock you.
I cannot believe it.
He's on another planet, Catherine.
Yeah. But part of your training was winter survival. Is that really necessary or more of a sick initiation ceremony by training staff?
Well, I was hoping it wouldn't be necessary because I really don't like the cold. But actually, it is because if your capsule comes down in a place that's unexpected, you'll have to survive with your crew until help arrives, or you have to navigate to where they can pick you up. So it was very cold. We had to do things like rescue people from semi-frozen lakes and go through different scenarios to get them out on helicopters and things like that. So I think I made everyone laugh when I was putting my pack on my sleeping bag whenever the sleeping bag was out in case of snakes. Like you do in Australia. They didn't really have any there, so everyone thought it was a bit funny. But
hey, Catherine, because so much of the training is, like, so physically rigorous, but do they also do psychological things like...
On the other hand, psychology as an astronaut is extremely important. We spend a lot of our training focusing on that.
We are thrilled for you, Catherine. Congratulations again, and thanks for speaking to us. Can't wait to see you in space.
Now, the space show asked Catherine's husband how long he expects it will before his wife flies in space. Here is his reply.
Well, I think it's going to be a long, long time. And I think it's going to be a long, long time. And I think it's going to be a long, long time.
And now to other Australian news. The fate of the space machines company's Optimus satellite is still unclear. Last week, as we reported on the space show, the company said, and we quote, "Our mission ops team has been working tirelessly to establish and maintain communications with the spacecraft. We remain focused on reaching this milestone." End of quote. Well, that led us to believe that Optimus had not worked. 5 days ago, the Sydney-based company posted on LinkedIn that it will send an operational fleet of Optimus satellites to orbit within the next 2 years. The post said, and we quote, "The launch will bring it closer to its ambition of providing the galactic equivalent of NRMA's roadside assistance service." The next sentence is particularly intriguing, and we quote, "After a successful maiden test launch last month, Space Machines' next fleet will, if all goes well, enable it to start providing services to nearly 10,000 satellites currently in orbit." End of quote. Well, that phrase, successful maiden test launch, puzzles us here at the Space Show. Yes, SpaceX successfully deployed the Optimus satellite into orbit. But can the mission be called successful if the satellite was dead on arrival? The LinkedIn post concludes with this quote from Space Machines founder Rajat Kulshrestha, and we quote, "that the second, third and fourth vehicles will start to deliver services like inspection, monitoring and the rest of it. We expect that in the next 24 months, 18 to 24 months, end of quote. Well, dear listener, make of that what you will. Now, time to mention a few launches coming up in the near future. From Jiquan in China, a Long March 2F rocket will launch Shenzhou 18. This will be three people aboard the spacecraft, taikonauts, as they think they call them in China, astronauts to us. And this will be the 13th crew to the Tiangong Space Station. That launch is due at 10:59 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on April the 25th. Also from China, a Long March 5 rocket will be launched from Wenchang on a far side lunar sampling mission. This is the Chang'e 6 mission. That launch is scheduled for May the 3rd at 5 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. So May the 3rd, Australian Eastern Standard Time for the lunar mission to go to the far side of the moon and pick up some samples and bring them back to Earth. Hopefully that will work. And on May the 7th at 12:34 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, Boeing's CST-100 Starliner will launch with two astronauts on a mission to the International Space Station following several test missions, one of which was unsuccessful. And coming up here in Australia, well, we don't know the date now, with the Eris rocket. We're going to launch it from Bowen Orbital Spaceport on May the 4th. But it has been delayed by the lack of a launch permit. That's the Gilmour space flight. And so it was to be May 4. We don't know when it's going to be because they haven't got a launch permit yet from the Australian Space Agency. Oh, dear. Well, that rocket is 25 metres tall. It's 1.5 metres in diameter. It is sitting on the pad upright last time we saw it. Well, we didn't see it personally, but we've seen photos of it. So we look forward to hearing the news of when that will launch. Yeah, someone in the space agency needs to write that permit. They've had years to do it. Anyway, there we go. Well, you have been listening to the space show, and we'll have more Australian space news and perhaps some reports on those missions that are due off in the next few days on next space show.